What's your take on this whole idea, first of all, of the Postal's overall plan to withdraw basically your members from federal employee health benefits program?
Well, we've been discussing this with the Postal Service through contract negotiations as well as possible legislative changes with regard to health care. We believe that there's savings in the way we do health care for our members and our annuitants and so forth. That involve Medicare integration and the accounting principles that are used and purchasing power and so forth. And we believe it can be done within FEBA. And we're going to continue those discussions with the Postal Service through collective bargaining and then figure out what we need to do legislatively to make it happen, because we believe that there's savings there.
But you're saying that you actually do not support the Postal Service's idea to break off from the federal employees health benefits plan. Is that right?
No, we don't think it's necessary to achieve the savings that are there.
So let's talk about that wider landscape of the political landscape involving the Postal Service's struggle to climb out of the red. The Senate was all set to debate a comprehensive bill yesterday to take up a movement for that. It didn't happen. Do you know why not? Do you have any insight on that?
I'm not sure why. I believe they had something else that they wanted to work on this week, but I can say that it's good, because it really didn't make a whole lot of sense to legislate any type of solutions to the Postal Service when you really don't have a long-term plan for the future of the service. The Postal Service didn't really have any type of plan for a new business model. You know, to replace the lost revenues, they had no plan to permanently resolve the issues that are involving the pension surpluses and the pre-funding mandate on the Postal Service. All we saw in the bill were provisions to dismantle the Postal Service, which, you know, of course, is an institution older than the country itself and our only universal communications and delivery network. And, you know, with an agenda to do nothing but dismantle it, I don't consider that a plan. It's more of a sign that the leadership of the Postal Service really doesn't know what to do.
Well, looking at the plan that you say is dismantling it, it would still have universal service, but there would be fewer postal processing facilities and fewer postal offices to account for the volume. So what would you do otherwise to try to get that revenue up if you had to support the existing infrastructure?
Well, I think that what you want to do is you want to maintain the existing network so that you can grow the business. You want to we have a competitive edge of delivering 6 days a week. We don't want to compromise the service standards or the ability of residents, whether they're elderly or rural or whatever the case may be, to have access to the Postal Service. It took over 200 years to build these networks, and dismantling them is just not an option. The problems that the Postal Service is facing involve a lot of the mandate that's required to pre-fund their future retiree health benefits. That's accounted for all their losses the last few years, and I think it's really important that gets fixed legislatively, since it was caused legislatively. And at the same time, you can't ignore the fact that we continue to lose revenue from first-class mail as people start to use the mail differently, and we've got to find innovative ways to replace that revenue and utilizing those networks, not dismantling them.
We're speaking with Fred Rolando. He's the president of the National Association of Letter Carriers, and we're talking about the various proposals on Capitol Hill to overhaul the Postal Service. Now, the Postal Service says that it needs to find $20 billion, a whopping amount of savings a year. And even though, as you just mentioned, the pre-funding of retirement accounts is a major part of why it's in debt, it's not $20 billion a year. So where does your association and other unions think that some of that amount could come from if you want to preserve the network, as you were just talking about?
Well, from a variety of sources. First of all, of course, fixing the pre-funding mandate, which accounts to between $5 and $8 billion a year of what's put aside for the future retiree health benefits. There are surpluses in both retirement accounts that need to return to the Postal Service. All the Postal Service's cash and borrowing authority have been shifted to this pre-funding account to the tune of over $20 billion. the last couple of years. That account's got $45 billion in it. Of course, both retirement systems are fully funded and overfunded, which is why we're looking for those surpluses. There's health care savings that we can engage in, as we talked about earlier, that we believe would result in quite a bit of money. And, of course, you've got to find ways to replace the lost revenues. There's a lot of different things we can do with the last mile and the delivery network. And the Postal Service needs to be thinking innovatively and be able to have the cash to do what they need to do to adjust to how the Postal Service is going to be used in the future.
Now, those revenue increases, whatever ideas there might be, would take some time. But in the meantime, there's a cash crunch coming. So I think most of the focus seems to be on cost cutting. What about what do we do in the short term with this cash crunch? I mean, I think the Postmaster General says they've got enough cash until the end of this year.
Just in their, just one of the retirement accounts, the Federal Employees Retirement System, we have almost $12 billion surplus that there is no dispute that that surplus exists. So I think that's plenty of cash to get them through the next year while we figure out what we need to do to restructure and come up with a business plan.
I know the other very large Postal Union, the American Postal Workers Union, has started a public campaign. It's launched TV ads opposing this Senate bill. There's a House bill as well. Are you doing anything to sort of sell your position to the public? And if so, where do you draw the line between what the Senate alternative, the Postal Service alternative, and the House alternative is as you make your pitch to the public?
Thing is that we have a plan that moves forward and grows the business, not to move backwards by dismantling the service. That's where we draw the line. Whether it has to do with service standards or consolidations or closings or delivery frequencies or door-to-door delivery, the key is to maintain the network that you need to grow the business. Whatever you have to do to maintain what we do, that's what we do, is we go to every 150 million addresses and businesses 6 days a week, and we've got to preserve those networks so that we can grow the business. That's the important thing, and there's not really a bill in the House or the Senate or any plan coming out of the Postal Service that has that agenda in mind.